Welcome and thank you for listening to our Sunday broadcast. Join us as we receive from the incorruptible seed of the Word of God today from Pastor Robert Jackson of Word of Faith Worship Center in Concord, North Carolina.
See, if you don't put God before your eyes, you won't see it. It won't register to you.
Put Him before your eyes.
Put Him before your ears. Keep God first, and everything else will fall in place in your life. Now, that doesn't mean He's looking at your performance. He's looking at your heart.
And if you keep Him first, everything else in your life, it will work out. Like Wayne said, it ain't going to be easy. It might be a mess sometimes, but God's in the mess with you. And he'll take that mess and he'll turn it around. And you'll help somebody else get out of some mess. Because we all been in messes before, right? But Jesus loves us unconditionally. I've shared this story before, but I, you know, when you think, every time I think about the word condition, I think about your hair, you know, conditioner. You know, who hates, as far as a male specimen, to be taking a shower, but you got, you know, two daughters, three women, plus my wife at home. You know, you reach for the bottle in the shower, you're hoping it's shampoo, but there's like three bottles of conditioner. Conditioner just don't do my head like shampoo does. I'm like, because when you wear glasses, it's kind of hard to see shampoo or conditioner, but they're both the same. Why don't they make a different color of the shampoo and the conditioner? That way I can go with the color code, amen? But I'll never forget, Wayne, and this is everybody, since Ruthie's in the back, I can talk about her here. But I remember when she was in school, and when a lot of times I'll go visit the sick in the hospital, and I didn't have no oil that day, so I took me a little shampoo bottle, those little vacation bottles, and I emptied all the shampoo out, and I put me some Wesson anointed oil. I anointed that Wesson oil, and I poured it in the bottle, and I took it with me to the hospital. I didn't use much, you know. It don't take a lot to get somebody healed. Come on, God, you don't need the whole bottle, but if you need it, pour it on them. If they say, keep pouring. But all they need is faith in Jesus. So I brought that bottle home, and I stuck it on top of the refrigerator. Keep it out of the way, you know, because I might use it again. Well, Ruthie, you want to come here and tell the rest of the story? Would you like to tell? You're going to be a teacher. You are a teacher. Would you like to tell the rest of the story? It really comes better from the person that experienced it. Come on, Ruthie. But the bottle disappeared. I'm like, man, Sherry must have had somebody sick and grabbed my anointed oil. Tell them the rest of the story, Ruru.
Well, I don't quite remember why I was washing my hair in the, like, kitchen, but I was like, usually mom has like shampoo and conditioner in front of the sink. So I was like, okay. And then I couldn't find any. And I was like, what in the world? And I looked up and I saw the little mini shampoo bottle. And I was like, okay, I'll do this real quick. And so I did it. And I went to school and my hair never dried. I looked ridiculous. I was like, why is my hair not drying? And it looked really bad. And so I was like, whatever. And then I can't remember if it was that night or the next night, but I was having this very bad experience when I was sleeping. It was like I couldn't move. I couldn't speak. It was like I was being held down. It was really terrifying, and I was like, what is happening? And like I had a ceiling fan. I had my fan on, and it was like it was going really, really fast, and it was like I could hear, like, laughing. It was really just not what I wanted to, you know, be in. And so I was just like, you know what? I can just, Jesus. It was just in my head. I was like, Jesus, Jesus. And I was, like, screaming it in my head. And it was, like, my mouth. They were, like, trying to close my mouth. And then finally, like, I kept saying it. I was like, Jesus, Jesus. And then I woke up screaming. And then Dad came in there. He tripped on the vacuum cleaner. And then came in. I laugh about that now, but yeah, he tripped on the vacuum cleaner and he came in there and I was just in tears, but I was anointed with oil in my hair the night before, but yeah, so his name does work. It has power. And they try to get you at your weakest point when you're sleeping, when you're not expecting it. So just remember Jesus, his name is power.
Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, it's those little things that are reminders. And what Ruthie's talking about, the devil, you know, he's a coward. He'll hit you while you're sleeping. But you know what? God never sleeps nor slumbers. See, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. I said, the spirit of the man is the candle of the Lord, seeking all the inward parts of the belly. See, God never sleeps. That means if you make him your Lord and Savior and you serve him and honor him, he's always got his light on. The devil come around. Well, see, that was just something that happened, but we believe that was God Ruthie got anointed. Now, the priests in the Old Testament, they would pour him from the top all the way down through the beard. That's what happened that day. She was anointed with oil. The prayer of faith saved her. And she, out of her dream, she was able to say, Jesus! But see, you got to take Jesus into that dream with you. See, your spirit's alive. It's always alive. It's your spirit doesn't sleep. Your soul does. Your mind. See, your brain's not your mind. Your brain is an organ. But God fills your mind with your soul. You learn. And Ruthie had learned how to pray. She learned how to put faith in Jesus. And so we just look back at that, and it's a powerful testimony. And I thank God it just needed to be shared this morning. See, all these little things come together to help you have a testimony, to put your faith in the Word of God. He's your rock. Amen? He's the rock of your salvation. And it just goes along. Today we're going to be starting a series. I think pretty sure it's going to be a series. Guarding against deception. Guarding against deception. Now, see, Ruthie was deceived. See, it goes right along. I was trying to think of some examples about deception. And there's a lot in the Word of God, but you need to bring them down to your life. How did you get deceived? Ruthie was deceived because that bottle said shampoo. But somebody had took that bottle and led it astray. Her daddy did. He took the shampoo and poured it out and replaced it. There's a lot of replacement theology out there. They take the Word of God out and replace it with what men think instead of what God said. That's where you get into deception. Has God said? So Ruthie got deceived, but you know what? That's how you got to guard your heart. And see, that's how subtle the devil is. He makes it look good. It's shampoo. It's good. It's good for you. Just a little example. The anointing is good for you too. But Ruthie had the anointing, but she needed shampoo that morning. That was something for her hair. So just an example here. Genesis 3:13 is where the Lord, and it goes back to Genesis. We've been talking about in the beginning. It all started in the beginning. In Genesis, Genesis 3:13, and this is the World English Bible because I wanted to hear you hear this version. It says, Yahweh, God said to the woman, what is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me. Now, your King James will say, beguiled me. Same word. The serpent, now she's talking about the snake, deceived me and I ate. Deception is very subtle. In the last days, anybody believe we're in the last of the last of the last days? No man knows the hour or day when Jesus comes, but we know the seasons. When you start to see all these things that God said you would see, that Jesus said you would see. Now, as a Christian, we're going to focus on Jesus. Because, see, we don't need to be focusing on all those things he said. We need to be focusing on, he said, let not your heart be troubled about these things. We need to focus on what Jesus has told us, the promises he said. Amen. Jesus did not get deceived when he was here on the earth. And he had many opportunities of people manipulating him, trying to control him, trying to lead him, guide him, get him off his course. But he had something on the inside. It's called the Spirit of God, which is the anointing. Is there to guide you, protect you, bring provision, bring help to you. Amen. It's God's Spirit. In the last days, the Bible tells us many will be deceived. Throughout the Scriptures, we are warned against the dangers of deception. Not only in the end times, but also in our day-to-day lives. If you think about it, guarding against deception in our everyday lives is what ultimately prepares us to do so in the end times. If we'll do it every day. Guard your heart every day, because the Bible says out of it, your heart, flows the issues of life. Not out of your head, out of your heart. God doesn't speak to you in your head. Now, Ruthie was having a dream, but her spirit, Jesus was in her spirit. The Word of God, Jesus was alive in her heart, and he was funneling, getting it through her mouth. That's the gateway into the earth, is your mouth. Amen? Because out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Ruthie had Jesus abundantly in her heart. And she was able to call on his name because it was there. How can they call except there be one that's called? You know, how can somebody hear unless there be a preacher where that preacher's got to answer the call? You just don't say, I'm going to be a preacher because mama said. You step into this ministry because God's called you. Not everybody that went were sent into the ministry. They just thought, well, this looks like a good way to go, good way to make some money. No, it ain't about that. Amen. It's about the call. And then that applies everywhere in your life. We're all gifted and talented for different things. Amen. So, it's not something most of us think about every day. In other words, to prepare for the end time, guard against deception. But we got to give attention to it. Give attention to it. Or it will sneak up on us and overtake us without us knowing it. You remember, I just give credit to the Lord because I hear so many good teachers and ministers talks about a frog, talking about deception. It can sneak up on you. And next thing you know, it's overtaken. But you'll take a frog, and if you'll put him, you can't take a frog and put him in a boiling pot of hot water. He'll jump right out of that thing. His body adapts to his surroundings. When I say him, he's a frog. But if you put the frog in the water and you gradually turn it up, you know, it's warm, ain't too bad. He stays in there, he kind of gets used to it, and you keep gradually turning it up. Next thing you know, he's deceived and he's dead, and we having frog legs for dinner. You know what I mean? But see, it's the subtlety. Little here, little there, little taking things out of school, you know, adding what men thought instead of what real history says. You know, evolution, putting evolution in there from what Darwin, his theology meant, came from the devil. It's anti-Christ. There's only two ways, AC or DC. I lost y'all somewhere over there. There was a rock band I grew up listening to, AC/DC. That was Highway to Hell. I was on that highway, but I'm not on that highway no more. Don't listen to their songs no more. Now, you can take the music and you can turn around and put some good words to it, but AC/DC is also electrical current. Right, Leo? AC, alternating current, and then you got DC, direct current. AC is the Antichrist. You don't need to focus on him. Focus on DC, the Christ. You will not be deceived if you focus on Jesus, the Christ. You won't fall for the Antichrist, the alternate Christ. Amen. There's false Christ out there. We're going to be warned. Paul was warning us in his day. They're going to creep up. He was warning Timothy. They're going to come. They're going to have on this cloak of I'm righteous and I'm holy and I'm good for you and I got some good things. And it might sound good for a while, but in the end, thereof is death. Ways of man. I mean, God says, but the end of that plan for man is death. If you're taking man's plan instead of God's plan. Amen? Are we being deceived? There's a lot of deception going on. The very definition of deception means that those who are deceived do not know or believe they are deceived. Most likely, that's the definition of deception. So it's vital that we as believers are on guard against this trap from the enemy all the way from the beginning. He hadn't changed. It's that deception. We got to be ready and be diligently seeking after the truth that can only be found in the Word of God. And the only way you're going to come to the Father and know truth is through Jesus, because they are one, Father and the Son. Jesus said, you can't, there's no other way. There's no other way. If there had been another way, like Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Father, if there be another way, take this cup from me. That was his soul. That was the Lord's soul crying out, because he emotionally, he didn't want to go to that cross. He knew the pain. He knew the torment. He knew the suffering. But then he said, not my will, but thy will be done. And see, his soul was crying out on the inside. Jesus knew his spirit. He is God. He had already decided, I will be the lamb. I will be the sacrifice. But his soul, he was giving us an example there that his soul did not want to, if there's any other way, there is no other way to the Father except through the blood of Jesus, through the cross, through that sacrifice, life, death, and resurrection. No other way. And Jesus paved the way. so you don't have to. Amen. We come here because it's a gift freely given. God, we don't make you come to church. Your mama and daddy, when I was little, they might drug you to church. Amen. That's a good parent. They can't, because they knew the benefit of you being here. They can't make you receive what's going to be said, but they can have you here. And that's God's holding my mama accountable to what she did to me before. And then I came to that age of accountability, and their parents, it's up to the kids. Ruthie's got to decide. Kelsey's got to decide. God first in my life. Now, it has nothing to do with your salvation. Once you get born again, you're saved. Your spirit's saved. But it has all to do with your life down here on this earth, whether you want to live in a mess or you want to live blessed. Amen. Blessed in the mess. You can still be in a mess and still be blessed. Isaac proved it. In a land of famine, he was blessed because he heard from God. You can't hear from God if you're hearing so much all this garbage that's going on in the world. There's so many voices out there. Which one is right? What should I do? Should I do this or should I do that? God's on the inside. He's speaking. He has spoken. And he forever lives to make intercession. He's always praying for us. But we have the choice every day to say, oh, no, I think I'll go over here and do this. Now, if God told you to do it, do it. Amen. And you'll be blessed. But do not be deceived. One of our scriptures, God is not mocked. Whatsoever you sow, you're going to reap. Amen. And I learned also too, if you sowed the wrong thing, I love okra, not too much on tomatoes. And if I wanted tomatoes and I grabbed the wrong seed bag and sowed tomatoes, before they grow up, I can go out there and dig them up. I can get my other seed bag in the ground. Or my wife loves tomatoes. I could just let them come on up and she can eat the tomatoes. But the main thing is, if you sow something bad, dig it up. It's called 1 John 1:9. Father, I confess my sin. I messed up. Confess your sin. You won't have a harvest on that. Amen. You can get that seed up out of the ground. Because Jesus knows the devil. He knows he's out to deceive us. He hates us. The devil hates people. He hates God. We're created in God's image. Why does the devil hate us? Because he hates God, and we're created in his image. And in his likeness, every human being are created in his likeness. But not every one of those human beings has a born-again spirit to God. They're either born of God or they're in the world, and that's Antichrist. Now, when I say in the world, a baby that's born is not an Antichrist. That baby that baby is innocent up to an age of accountability. Jesus comes tomorrow and somebody just had a baby, that baby's going to be in heaven because it hasn't had the time to learn right from wrong, good and evil. But once you get that choice and you know, the spirit on the inside of you knows there's a God. There's a vacuum that needs to be filled. Only Jesus can fill that vacuum and that void with his love and his goodness. And he testified of the Father. He said, if you see me, you've seen the Father. Come. Jesus said, all those that will, come to the Father through me. And you can be saved. So once we're all born sinners, we're born in, by default, we are all born into sin. But that is not the setting God has for us. His setting is to be born again. Amen. To come to the knowledge of the truth that Jesus died so I can live. That's the gospel in a nutshell. Jesus died so that I can live. Will you receive his gift of salvation freely? Not by what you do, but by what you believe. I believe on Jesus. You make that decision, man, you in the kingdom. But that doesn't mean you can't be deceived. Because even Jesus was led by the Spirit after he was baptized into Jordan. He was baptized with water, and he came up and was baptized in the Holy Ghost. Amen. The fire came down as a dove that day. It came down and it lighted on Jesus. And it stayed on him. And immediately after that, you think, oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. Oh, it was a happy day. It was a bad day for the devil, though. But immediately Jesus was led by the Holy Ghost, by the Spirit, into the wilderness to be tested. Before you graduate, kids, how many people we still got to graduate? High school, come on, get them hands. No, don't. I got to graduate. Ruthie, you still in school? Before you graduate, you got to take some tests. A lot of tests. Depending on what you know, depends on where you go. You get to go out of school or you got to stay in school, summer school. Don't do that route. Amen. Jesus passed the test. Every temptation, wasn't but three, but it was 40 days and he was hungry. It is written. He knew where it was written. Amen. Do you? Got to get in that book. Now, you don't have to know scripture verse, you know. It's good to know that if you can. I'm not a big scripture and verse. I ain't going to confess that, but I just had to. I put it in here, and I can find it. You get me a Bible app. I'll just do a search. It's in my heart. John 3:16, you know, some scriptures I have, but I rely more on that word, that spirit. And then I go find it, and I'll give you the scripture and verse so you can make sure he was right. Don't be deceived. Don't you take, when you leave here today, you make sure what I say was the truth. Amen? And if it wasn't, you let me know and I'll correct it. Last Sunday, I talked a little wrong about the red, white, and blue of the American flag. I didn't look up the definitions, but in my heart, I was just thinking red for the blood of Jesus, white for the purity of God, and blue for the spirit. But for the flag, it's a little bit different. So I'll retract that from last Sunday and get you the truth of what our American flag, those colors were for. Some of you guys might know it in here. So here are four ways. Can you say four? Just four. But it might not all happen today. But if you need all four, let me know. I can send you this outline. Four ways to guard our heart against deception to keep you strong and living in the truth. Living in the truth. First thing we talked a little bit, know the definition of deception. Go to Webster Dictionary, or find you a good Bible dictionary. I like to go to the Strong's Concordance and see what it says. Amen. Get all of them. But Strong says this word is beguile. I don't try to pronounce these words too much. Some of you guys probably can pronounce them. But it means to beguile, deceive greatly, utterly. The definition, Strong's definition, is to lead astray. To lead astray, to delude, or morally to seduce. To seduce. One thing we need to know right off is this. Anyone can be subject to deception. No one is immune. See, because the definition is when you say, I'll never be deceived, well, you're in deception. Because the Bible says you can be deceived. So we've got to guard our heart. Got to guard our heart. Before I go much further, there when I was talking about Genesis 3:13, Adam wasn't alone. In other words, God was saying, okay, Adam, what'd you do this for? Adam said, oh, it was the woman you gave me, Lord. Passing the blame. Accountability. If you'll stick with accountability, deception won't have an inroad in your life. Be thankful. Wayne talked about that thankfulness. Be thankful in all things. That's a heart of humility. Adam wasn't alone in passing the buck. Eve refused to accept responsibility for her actions too. She blamed the serpent. They were doing something called the blame game. Ever done that? You might as well raise your hand. We cast out some lying spirits in here. We all, no. It wasn't me. See, you got to watch that pride gets in there too. The serpent is the only one that took responsibility for his actions. Notice that Eve now knew that she had been beguiled. She had been deceived. She knew this instantly. The moment she ate of the tree, it says what? Her eyes were opened. Her eyes were opened. The first step to guarding our heart against deception is to know the definition of deception. First, it's essential to understand what deception is not. You know, what is not deception? When you do something wrong and you know it's wrong, that's not deception. You know what you did? You just made a bad decision. Anybody ever done that? You you bypassed the that little, you know, mom and daddy's told you, don't go out with them boys that drive them fast cars and stay out late, way late, and you do it anyway. You knew that was wrong before you did it. And you come home, you're going to suffer the consequences. Amen. Give me the keys. You got to build some trust back, right? Now, I'm not saying none of my kids did that. I'm just using that as an example. Amen. I'll give them some grace. Give them some grace. Daddy said, be home on time. Be home on time. Mama's staying up. She's waiting. So when you know to do something wrong and you know it's wrong, that's not deception. That's just making a really bad choice. The only deception in this is the idea that there will be no consequences to your bad choice. That's where you get deceived. Oh, I'm going to do this. I know Daddy. He won't be bad. Well, what about Mama? Daddy got to live with Mama. And you make Mama mad, then you get Daddy upset, then you in trouble. If you keep Mama happy, Daddy won't be a problem to you. Amen. All the husbands said amen. So true deception is much deeper. It comes when you get swept away by a wrong idea. I think about some of the old Disney, Walt Disney Cinderellas and all these characters. You know, sometimes they get swept away by this charming prince that has all this money and castle. Watch out for deception. Be not deceived. You know, make sure he is a true prince. Amen. I'm not saying there's a choice. There's one mate for us out there. One mate, the right one, that God has chose. There's the key that God has chose. And then there's a time for that meeting. You know, God brought Eve to Adam. Adam didn't go looking for Eve, right? Of course, there wasn't no other Eves out there. But still, God brought the woman to Adam. That's a little bit of wisdom right there. Men, be praying. God can bring that woman right to you. Amen. But women, sometimes the guys ain't praying, so you got to go find them too. My wife found me, I think. She came looking for me, and she had an attitude too. She did. I ain't going to say a lot because she's not here, but she had an attitude. I think I did something to her, looked at her wrong or something. She was kind of like, but we hit it off because opposites attract. We different, amen? That's a good thing. Somebody's got to be the gas and somebody's got to be the brake. Amen? Starting and stopping. So, true deception goes much deeper. It comes when you're swept away by a wrong idea. But you become convinced that it's the truth. That's what Timothy was talking about when he said, 2 Timothy says, for a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. There's coming, that time is now. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them, they have itching ears, that tell them what their flesh wants to hear. They will reject the truth and they will chase after these myths or fairy tales. If you want to go ahead and turn to 2 Timothy, you can be close there. I got a few more things to say, but we're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 4 because that was verses 3 and 4. Itching ears are those that only want to be told what they want to hear. And if you don't, Pastor, if you don't tell me what I want to hear, I ain't coming back and I ain't giving no money to your church. Now, I'm not saying none of you guys are here, but this is deception. That's a lot of that's manipulation and control too. Amen. They want the message of God restyled to fit the times and the flow of society. This is itching ears that don't want the truth. This leads to mixing truth and falsehood until the accurate picture of Christ and Christianity is no longer presented. This is the devil's deception. Well, you know, you're a Christian. You've got to turn your other cheek. Well, Jesus, there was times he didn't turn the other cheek. He got the whip out. He got the whip out and drove out some religious people, drove out the money, the people that were in there charging too much for the doves or made it all about the doves and not about God. It's supposed to be praying for one another, loving for one another, taking up offerings when somebody needs some little help with their doctor bills for one another. It ain't about making money off of one another. See, that's what was happening in the church, in God's house, that Jesus went up, grew up, and going to church. And he said, I don't remember it being like this. This ain't right. Jesus didn't turn the other cheek. Not then he didn't, right? Because it was time to make a stand for the truth. Because his father said, get the whip out. Show them what love is. Drive out all this wrong teaching. So that's the definition of deception. Being swept away into believing as truth what you didn't believe previously. That just didn't sound right. In other words, you've been around some good teaching. That just don't sound right. That's the Spirit of God on the inside of you. It ain't right. Check it out. Double check it. Run the Strong's Concordance on it. Dig in there and find it out and find that stuff out. Amen. Angel Marie can help you out here. That little book she gave all of us fathers a couple Sundays ago. Fathers, if you want to bring your book, we'll pass it around. Once you've read yours, we'll pass it around to the other fathers. She did some good word studies of some words. Study the word, Timothy, to show yourself approved. Study, study, study. You thought when you get out of high school and college, you ain't got to study no more, you're being deceived. Study, study, study. Study economics. Study history. Study the Bible history. Study, amen? Study to show yourself approved. Because the devil wants to deceive you. He wants to lead you astray. Get you into religion. Religiosity. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Deception is being swept away into believing as truth what you didn't believe previously. That's what happened in the Garden of Eden. The nature of deception is a work of fear. Say fear. The nature of deception is a work of fear that begins with questioning, has God said? Questioning God. Questioning what you believe. Adam and Eve believed what God said about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil until another voice showed up and said, has God said? They knew that voice, and they knew that voice was not God. God's voice is different from the devil's voice. A lot of people say, I go to church, and I can't hear God. I can't hear God. I've been to school. I can't hear God. Why? Because you keep saying, I can't hear God. He's speaking. He's a small, still voice, but he can blow your ears off. He can make thunder on the inside of you. My God, I was in my house, didn't know a lot about the word, but I had a hunger for God, and God walking down the hall, next thing I heard, go teach my people faith. That's about the way I heard it. And I turned around like, wow. I didn't hear it here. I heard it here. 20 years later, doing what God said. Go teach my people faith. Don't stop here. Take it to the world. Amen. God said, I've made you a salesman. Now go sell my gospel to the world. That's what he told me when I was in retail. I'm like, well, what am I doing here, Lord? Don't question. Don't question, what am I doing here? Because the devil will deceive you. He'll always keep you there. What has God said? Just speak it out and then let God get you there. Right? Don't be chasing the dream. Let the dream trace you and then let God bring it to pass. See, Joseph had a dream, but his dream wasn't his brother's dreams. And the devil deceived him. You need to go ahead and say that out loud. Let your brothers know what God has said to you. Oh, that didn't work out. We see the mess it got Joseph in, right? Well, I'm sure we see Joseph in heaven. He's going to say, I messed up. God gave me a dream, but I wasn't supposed to put my pearl before the swine. I hadn't read in the New Testament yet about that. But he said, I learned by hard knocks. But God was faithful because Joseph was thankful for God. Amen? And he showed up in the prison and got him out. Amen. And he still had dreams, and he interpreted dreams of other people. That's a gift of the Spirit. God's given me that gift. Remember, our theme for this year is be seeking for dreams and visions that God gives you. Because it says in Joel, in the last days, my people shall, When I pour out my spirit, my sons and daughters, they're going to prophesy. Prophecy's in the Bible. Speaking what God says is prophecy. They're going to dream dreams, visions. But you cannot be deceived. You got don't be led by that dream. Be led by the Spirit of God, the Word of God on the inside of you. I was just asked, because there's a lot of pastors putting on YouTube some things they said, this happened, but I wasn't there when they said what they said was going to happen. So I don't know that person. Now, if I knew that person, see, if you say something, what God says, and it comes to pass, you're a true prophet. But if you don't, you're a false prophet. In other words, it doesn't make you a bad person unless you keep having false prophecy. You can get in deception. You're going to miss it sometimes. But don't give up. You know, sometimes you just add something to it and get in the flesh, but a true prophecy will come to pass if it's of God. But somebody was asking me, well, you know, he said about, you know, everything that's happened. He had a dream about all this burning and rioting and all this stuff. And he went on to say what's coming on down the road. Well, be cautious, but don't be deceived. What has Jesus said? That's what we got to focus on. Let not your heart be troubled. I replied to the person that I know. I said, well, this is what the Word says. I'm going to follow what Jesus says. Now, if this happens, then we'll see, yeah, he was right. But right now, you focus on what Jesus said. And Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He said all these things was going to happen, but he said, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't get in fear about this, what this guy is saying. Be warned. He's saying it was a warning. He's a pastor. He was warning. So I'm not casting down what he's saying is wrong, but I'm not going to get in fear. I'm going to get into the Word, listen to the Holy Ghost. All right? That way, if something happens, I'm not, whoa. No, don't move in fear. You walk in faith. Jesus didn't get in fear. Would you see what they do to John? Jesus, do you hear about your cousin? They beheaded him because he stood up and said, you shouldn't have your, that's sin. You shouldn't have your, his brother's sister, brother's wife. That's bad stuff. John didn't just say, ooh, turn the other cheek. No, he didn't. He shouted it from the housetop. That's sin. Why? Because he had the Spirit of God on the inside of it. He knew he was anointed by God to say what's right and what's wrong. And it cost him his head. And when they told Jesus about that, Jesus said, let's get the signs, get the guns. We're going to the Capitol. No, he didn't. That ain't what Jesus did. He said, come on, boys. We're going to go lay hands on the sick. We're going to go cast out some devils. We're going to go feed some poor people. He went against, he didn't return evil for evil. He went out here and destroyed principalities and powers. Jesus went out here and blessed people. Now, he felt, he was hurt about his cousin. But he knew, he would not be deceived. The devil played his best card. He played that card. But Jesus said, Because why? He was listening to the Father. And the Father said, go out there and heal them sick folk. Go show them what true love does. When evil is being displayed, go show them what love does. And he started destroying that darkness. Came against the devil's kingdom. And the devil thought he had Jesus. I'll get him with this. I'll take his cousin out. He made it personal. Went to family. But God took it personal too. He went and started healing other people's families. John was a martyr. I mean, he lost his head, but you know what? He's up in heaven right now saying, preach it, saints. Preach it from the housetops. Thank you, Lord. And there's still martyrs out here for the gospel. Still taking place. Thank you, Jesus. Be not deceived. Hallelujah. The nature of deception is a work of fear that begins with questioning. Adam and Eve believed what God said about the tree of knowledge of good and evil until that other voice came in the garden and told them they should question that truth. Then they started to lean away. They started leaning away from what God said, the truth, through their own questioning. And now there was two of them. Had Adam just been Adam and God, but see, God knew what good to Adam be alone, but they got to come together before they make a decision. And they didn't come together, did they, Jim? Adam just said, amen, sister. Looks good to you, looks good to me. What did he do? Come on, guys. What did he do? He put E before God. That's where he missed it. That's where he missed it. He put what he could see, the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. That's the three areas. He put what he could see before what he knew in his heart was wrong. But did God run away? No. God knew. He knew the devil. He knew all this was going to happen, but he still had to give us that free will choice to make that decision. But God came back to his creation with a plan. His plan, the mighty plan of redemption, and the devil couldn't see it. Amen. He couldn't see it. Why? Because he was spiritually, the devil was spiritually separated when he got man to fall. Amen. He lost his position because evil came from the devil, not from God. It came from Lucifer, a created being by God. And that's the whole beginning of deception and evil. So instead of going back to the source, Adam and Eve, let their questioning lead them away. That's deception. Go to that source. You know, my pastor has corrected me many times on Facebook. I'll see something and I posted it because it sounded good, but Jim said, that's fake news. That was, you need to go back to the source. Go back to the source. Amen? So I'm watching. Don't be so quick. Swift to hear. What is it? What does the Bible say? Come on. Come on, say it a little bit louder now. You got to have confidence in what you heard. Swift to hear, slow to speak. Swift to hear, slow to speak. That's the word of God. What has God said? Before you speak it out. Before you speak it out. Amen. Get to that source. So that's number one. Y'all ready for number two? Four ways that you can guard your heart. I like the scripture that says, let this mind be in you as in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you. See, so that's in Christ Jesus. You have the mind of Christ. You know what that is? That's the anointing. Once you get born again, God puts his spirit on the inside of you, the spirit of Christ. Now, you're born again. Your spirit is created unto God. You're sealed. You know, I love blackberries. And I ate as many as I could back here before these blackberries dried up off the vine. Yeah, Carrie even brought Karma up here, and they came up here, and they was picking some blackberries one Wednesday night. Well, they're about all dried up now. But there's a lot of them out there on the vine that are wasted. You know, if somebody would have came up here and had some good old, you got to get some clothes on where you don't get stuck with all them briars, you could have took those home and canned them and preserved them and made you some blackberries for next year or next year. Put them in a good old mason jar and put you some, what they call that waxy stuff on there. And put you some paraffin wax on there. And put you, there's some things that you put in there to help it kind of stay fresh too, fresh something. I've been out of retail a while. But then you got to know how to boil it and put them seals on there. And then those things, when they get a certain temperature, you'll hear the seals pop. Sealed, good seal, good seal. You put your date on there when it's sealed. Well, 20 years ago, I don't know exactly the date. I gave my life to Jesus, and there was a date put on me, sealed by the Holy Ghost. I got guaranteed that I'm going to heaven. My spirit man was sealed unto God, vacuum packed until the day of redemption, when my body's going to be changed and my mind's going to be changed, but no more. My spirit is alive unto God. And Jesus put his spirit also in there with me. The spirit of Christ is on the inside. And if I'll listen to that spirit by my spirit, I won't be deceived. And somebody can come to you and open up and get all that good stuff that God put on the inside of you out anytime. Amen. Because it comes out of your spirit. And it's the goodness of God that leads people to come to church and to repent and get right with God. And remember, once you give your life to Jesus, you're sealed. And nobody can break that seal except mama or daddy, you. In other words, you're the only one that can walk away from that redemption, such a great salvation. You would have to do it. You would have to deny Christ, and you'd have to be deceived that something's better than Jesus. And it would take you to walk away from that. You would have to do it because no man can do it. The devil can't do it. Sin can't do it. Come on. Personal sins cannot separate you from the present. What's the depth? What's the height? You were singing it, Wayne. No depth, no height can separate me from the love of Christ that's been sealed in my spirit. Now, sinning is not good. I'm talking about the sin of rejection, Jesus. Once you get born again, you've been sealed. That's the only sin that'll keep you from heaven is rejecting Jesus. It's not what you did. It's not all the personal sins that keeps you from heaven or hell. It's rejecting Jesus. Because you're going to make a mistake after you get born again. I can guarantee you're going to make a mistake because there's a lot of mistakes you got to break. You got to break out of that by the Word of God. But it's your spirit man that got saved. And God took the Holy Ghost and sealed your spirit until the day that He returns and gives your new body and your new mind. But in the meantime, you got to get the Word and put it in there, put it in your mind. And it agrees with your spirit, and you won't be deceived. We won't be deceived. Amen? Amen. Y'all are awful quiet out here. I think y'all just, are y'all sucking this in? You can say amen or oh no, amen or oh me. Anytime. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Ah, where was I at? Canon preserves. Blackberry was my favorite because Mama used to do it, and she's 84 now, and she couldn't tell you how to, she used to do it, but she did. I witnessed to it because I'd go in there and those things would bubble up on that. I can see that black. It's a old black. It looks like it's a ceramic, big old ceramic black pot she put on the gas stove, and she put those blackberries and sugar, a lot of sugar. Put a lot of sugar, and they start to boil, and a little foam will come up like that foam you see at the beach that washes up on the beach. Don't eat that foam. Mess with that. That's some nasty foam. But that stuff would foam up in that pot. And then when it would cool down, it would stick on the side. And I'd take me a spoon or my finger, depending on how hot the pot was. And I'd scrape it. That's the good stuff. I remember that. I can remember Mama getting, get out of the kitchen and get out of the pot. But Mama is so good. It's so good. God is so good. God is so good. Amen. He is so good. Ah, oh, thank you, Jesus. Yes. God is so good. In His presence, man, is fullness of joy. Yes. You want to know how to stay strong in this world? Stay in the presence of God. He's only inside of you once you get born again. He never leaves. We walk away from Him and go hide somewhere like, God, you're not seeing this. I'm hiding over here like Adam. I'm hiding. God saw everything, but He still said, Adam, where are you? I want to hug you. I want to fellowship with you. I want to teach you some more about all these good things I have for you in this whole earth I created for you, Adam. Why are you hiding for? Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten? Have you eaten? Why couldn't they? If they would have ran to God to begin with, I think it could have been a whole different story. I'm not God, but I know that was they were deceived. To believe that there was something better than God. Because He gave them all the trees to eat of. All of them but one. And how many trees? Anybody in here study trees? There's a lot of trees on this earth. There's a lot of fruit trees out there. They had all that to eat of. Plus they could eat from the tree of life. But just one tree. One tree. And the devil said, why has God said you can't eat of this one? They totally forgot about all the other good stuff they were eating. For that one tree that God said, amen. You see the deception, how subtle it is? You're eating all these trees, but then the devil comes and says, well, what about the one you're not eating anything of? Yeah. What's up with this, God? Deception. Why you want to question God for? There's a whole world is questioning God. God, why this? God, why that? The answer is in Jesus. The answer has been written. It is written. It is written. You're not God. And He knows more. He knows better than I do. And He's given us all good stuff. And He put it in the package. It starts with a J and it ends with a S. Jesus, amen, is the embodiment of God in this earth. Jesus. Jesus. Something about that name. We own number one. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are y'all in 2 Timothy? I never got there. I stayed in the beginning. In the beginning, God said. What did he say? Oh, that'd be what he said a lot, hadn't he? And when the pastor says that, I can remember sitting out there where you're sitting now, and my pastor preaching to me, and he would ask something. He would be, maybe it's about time for a testimony. Who would like to testify? You'd be thinking about a testimony. I'm like, my brain's rattling about God's done so much in my life, and I'm trying to narrow it down to one. And I'm like, God, whoa, you've done so much. And see, that's because you're being pressured. See, you're letting the devil pressure you. Just be in peace. You need to listen to that small, still voice. Because your testimony is not for you, it's for somebody else. See, everything that's been shared and sharing today, this wasn't pre-planned. I mean, the praise team, they come in here and they come together on Thursday and they practice. But then they come here and they worship on Sunday. Amen. Now, you understand, we worship together on Sunday. There's practice, and they worship at their practice too. But when we come in here, we're worshiping God. And when you start worshiping God, he shows up, and he shows out, and you get delivered, and you get healed. Larry Honeycutt, in the name of Jesus, we release faith right now for a healing in his back, Lord. We don't have to be there. The pastor don't have to be there. We send forth the word right now. See, I keep thinking that was right before service, Cole, and I'm thinking about Larry. I'm thinking about Larry, and God says, focus on me. Focus on me, because I got Larry. Focus on me. Come on, focus on me. I got Larry. So, Father, we just thank you right now. Holy Ghost, we thank you, Lord. You love Larry as much as you love Jesus. And, Lord, Jesus did not have back pain. He took Larry's back pain on the cross, and he nailed it there. He let man nail it there because it's a curse. And, Father, we just break that curse right now off of Larry's back. Whatever's causing this pain right now, Lord, he comes here faithfully. He comes here faithfully. And, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for that touch right now by the Holy Ghost. And we release that right now, and we thank you. Devil, we bind you in the name of Jesus. Any area he's been deceived in his mind, thinking he's not worthy enough, that's a lie. So we thank you right now, Lord, that Larry receives his touch. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe God did it. He's already done it, amen. He's already done it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Pastor, I thought you were supposed to wait till the end and pray. We got to follow what God says. Amen. Do it now. Hallelujah. Do it now. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I don't think I'm going to get much into number two. Hallelujah. But we're going to listen to God this morning. We're going to guard our heart, and we're not going to be deceived. We're not going to be deceived. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let me get over here to 2 Timothy a minute. There is something here I probably want to share with you. See, I got a history button that I'm pushing right now on my computer, and it's showing me verses that I've been to. History. Where have you been? Amen. Where have you been? And I was in 2 Timothy. Why? My history button says I have been. See, a lot of time man wants to say what happened, but he wasn't there. God's been there. God created it. See, what you believe needs to be based on fact, not theory. This is where deception can come in. Has God said, or are you going to believe what God said, or what man said, or what the scientist said, or what the doctor said, or what the lawyer said? Amen? Now, it's okay if that doctor is saying what God says, and he's knows your body, but also God says, I mean, the doctor can only go so far. He can only study the body. He can't study the spirit. I said the doctor can only study the body. He can't study the spirit. God is spirit, and he put his spirit in a body. God knows the body just as good because he created it. Amen? So if you got the Spirit of Christ on the inside of you, go to the doctor, but be listening to both. Amen. Take the prescription that both are prescribing. On the way to the doctor, be saying, God said, by his stripes, I were healed. I were healed. Amen. That's 2 Peter 2:24. I've been there. I've been to that history. I've been to that spot. I know that scripture. Why? Because I've needed healing before. John 3:16 brought me to 1 Peter 2:24. Amen. The same God that healed me, saved me, is the same God that healed me. Amen. And you need to be taught that, need to hear that. So you won't be deceived that, well, God's not healing people anymore today. He did that. That passed away with the early church. That's a lie. Come on, guys. That's a lie. That's a deception. Has faith passed away? Then I'm sorry. Faith is a spiritual force. And it takes faith to please God. Amen. What else are they going to try to say passes away? Well, you know, the Bible's not relevant for today. Says who? Amen. Says who? I know the author of the book. He's on the inside of me, and I ain't passed away yet. I'm still talking. I'm still walking, and I got a lot to say. Amen. I got a lot to say. You know, if they ever get to where, I'm just going to throw this in there because I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan. If they get to try to change my Dallas Cowboy name, I'm going to be upset. Dallas Cowboys. Now, I watched Cowboys and Indians as a boy growing up, and I learned a lot from watching Cowboys and Indians. The Cowboys done a lot of things wrong to the Indians, and the Indians done a lot of things wrong to the Cowboys. Amen? But I don't have a problem with Dallas being called the Dallas Cowboys. We got to watch how we take things and we magnify them and we try to change every little detail about something because it just don't feel right. You know what? God, that's deception. Do not do things based on feelings. You do things based on the Word of God. Amen? I'm sure if we go back in time, we talk to Jesus, I'm sure them boys played something growing up, his brothers and his sisters. You know, Ruthie's gone. Is Ruth? No, there she is. She changed positions. We could talk about boomer ball. At the Jackson's house when they were little, they had something they called boomer ball. Y'all want to know what boomer ball is? You want to tell them, Ruth? You want me to tell them? Well, all my kids have been sports-oriented. It's, you know, Kelsey played, but she was more into the dance. She did the flags at UNC Chapel Hill. She was on the color guard. She was the flag team. But she played softball, but the coach undoubtedly thought she wasn't that good. So you know what? Kelsey said, well, I'll just go do the flags. She didn't let what people thought about her keep her from doing something that she loved doing. So she did the flags. But Ruthie and Dallas and Rowan, they've been the ball players. And when they were little, you know, Rowan's the little one of the family. So, you know, he caught all the stuff, you know. But they made something called boomer ball. You take a big old wad of tinfoil and you wad it up. And you get your plastic bat, right, Ruthie? And you hit the ball over the top of the house. If you hit over the house, that's a home run in the backyard. That's called boomer ball. All right, I'm sure Jesus had, and they might have had a team. It's the Galileans against, somebody help me, Samaritans. Galileans versus the Samaritans. And they played. And it wasn't about whose name's what. It's like, you're on that team and I'm on that team. There's got to be a name to distinguish what team you're on, right? Well, we own the winning team. We own the Jesus team. We own the Spirit team. Amen? Because we're all, God put his Spirit in us. The Spirit is what matters. Amen? It's the Spirit of Christ. It's the Spirit. When you see people look out here looking, look for spirits. Are they saved or are they lost? Because God wants them all saved. We got to have the eyes of Jesus. We got to look past all evil and all the mess, and we got to see people saved and on our team. It's not the Dallas Cowboys. It's the Jesus team. Amen? Now, we'll talk about the Cowboys later. You come to this church, you'll probably hear about the Cowboys. Amen? They the winning team. They God's team, man. But see, I get to preach it from it because it's my story. I stick to it. I believe I heard one pastor preaching. I forget. I think it was... I don't know. It was either Pastor Lawson Perdue or one of the other pastors talking about the Cowboys. And he put it didn't sound good. He said, I think it was if somebody wanted to get sick, just put the name of the Cowboys on them because they ain't catching nothing. They won't get sick. The Cowboys, they ain't catching nothing. They're talking about the receivers ain't catching nothing. So you got to have a little bit of humor in there. But I didn't like that. I didn't settle too much on my spirit. But I forgave him. Amen. He just don't know the Cowboys like I do. They might be down, but the Bible says if you fall down, you shall arise. Amen. You got to pray for your team. I tell my son, don't be talking about your Panthers like that. Don't be talking about your team. Why you want to talk bad about your team for? Man, for your team, you're supposed to be exhorting and edifying and building them up. Man, this is the gospel news. That's what the spirit of prophecy does. It edifies. It builds. It lifts you up. Wayne, come on up here. He's going to lift us up. He's going to play a little bit for us as we get ready to close. Amen. We're not closing the doors anymore. I'll say we're going to unhook. Brother Hagin would say it's time to unhook. Amen. Even, you know, y'all got padded pews. I think in the older days, they didn't have padded pews, did they, Pastor? So I could probably take you a little bit further. Amen. Man, I went through plenty of recitals with Kelsey, and they had metal chairs. Boy, them recitals went on and on and on. But I sit there and watched all them little girls dance and waiting for my girl to get up there. Amen. It's not about you. Come on, guys. It's not about you. Be not deceived. It's all about God. Focus on God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for I thank you for this people here. And if you're listening and you're watching by live stream, I pray if you don't know Jesus, I'll tell you, if you don't know Jesus, you will be deceived. It don't have to be the end times. It can be any time. Because without the truth, you shall believe a lie. Without right, you will do wrong. Without love, you will hate. But if you got Jesus, you will know love. And you will know the truth. And you will not be deceived. So I would ask you, if you don't know Jesus, I'm not talking about knowing about God. I'm talking about knowing God through his son, Jesus. If you've never made that commitment, today is your day.
Thank you for joining us today at Word of Faith Worship Center. I pray God's grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then according to Romans 10, 8 through 10, the word is nigh unto thee, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you will confess with your mouth Jesus as your Lord and believe that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart you believe unto righteousness, and with your mouth confession is made unto salvation. We would ask you today to simply say, yes, I believe this, and I say yes to Jesus. Now, if you just received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we would encourage you to get into a good church. Our church is located at 757 Harris Street, Northwest, Concord, North Carolina, 28025. And you can also find us on the internet at wordoffaithworshipcenter.org or wofwc.org. We hope to see you soon. Blessings.